Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you for calling in. It's 9 o'clock on Tuesday on Monday evening. We did a few different things tonight to make the call clarity better. Just want to thank Josh Gershon and June Moglinski for helping set up and following through with the call-in. Everybody's muted, and we turned off all the ringers, and it's being recorded all at the same time. So hopefully we'll be productive now and later. I apologize to anybody who had a hard time hearing because of the echo last week. It happens to be that a number of the items that we will discuss in the next 20 minutes also refer back to our discussion last week. If you were on, it will be a good review. If you are not, you will not miss anything because I will review a few different points that are of practical, common nature from last week and this week. The topic of tonight's discussion is playing Scrabble on Shabbos. As you are aware, and as I'm aware, there are essentially two different types of Scrabble. There's one that's a flat board that you put pieces onto, and then there's what's called deluxe Scrabble, which places the pieces into a more secure form. So I'd like to address both of those. However, before doing so, like we always do, I'd like to go back to the primary sources on the topic because the practical applications of playing Scrabble and Shabbos are really rooted in a tshuva of the Ramah, tshuva of Moshe Isserles, and in Kufiyot Tes. This opinion of the Ramah is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah doesn't bring his discussion on this particular topic in Shulchan Aruch, even though a later application of it is. The question which we referred to last week that was posed to the Ramah was a library stamp that is placed on the outside, not on the binding of the book, but on the papers that are on the outside of the book. If there's a stamp on it that says, like we mentioned, I think, Silver Spring Library, whether one can flip through the pages, open the pages, read through the book, open the book, and close the book, whether that would be a problem of two malachos, one kosev and two mochek. Kosev means to write, mochek means to erase. Therefore, when you actually open the book or split the pages of the book into different pages, you're essentially cutting the words in half. Silver becomes half of that word, or you're completely closing the book. When you do close the book, that half word now becomes silver or spring. So is that permitted or is that not permitted? That was a question that was posed to the Ramah. The Ramah ruled leniently on that question, permits one to open and close the book, and he has two basic reasons why that should be permitted. The first, and this is the real fundamental reason for the Ramah's permitting that particular case, is that writing is something that you have to create a letter. It's the creation of a word, the creation of a letter, the creation of a picture. That is the malacha, that's the prohibition of kosev, of writing. However, if letters already exist, and all that you are doing is bringing words or letters or a picture close to each other or separating them from each other, that is not the malacha of kosev. Because the words are already in existence and you are moving the silver next to the spring, the S next to the I, next to the L, that's not, says the Ramah, the malacha of kosev. You're simply placing things next to each other. Kosev means creating a word, creating a letter, building or creating a beautiful picture. That is the malacha, the araisa, that's the biblical prohibition of kosev, of writing. Seemingly, the same thing should be true about mochek, erasing. Erasing means that there's a letter or there's a word or there's a picture, and it's no longer. However, if the word is there, but you are separating one word from another word, or you're separating a half a word from another word, that is not the malacha of kosev, and for that reason, says the Ramah, that's permitted to open up and to close a book without any problem whatsoever on Shabbos if the outside, on the outside of the pages, there is writing written on it. The Ramah further mentions the second star, the second reason to permit that, and that's because it's roi liftach v'lifkor. It's common to open and close a book. That's what you do. You open a book, you close a book, you keep the book open, you keep the book closed. So since it's commonplace to open and close a book, you're not writing. Writing means you're doing something that's meant to be permanent, that's meant to have everlasting function, and that you'll be able to read or use that picture, that painting, that word, or that letter for a significant amount of time. But if you're simply opening and closing something, therefore the Ramah says that that's not what you're doing when it comes to a book. You're not keeping the book there. That's not your intention. That's you want to read the book. And it happens to be that you're opening and closing the pages. Therefore, it says the Ramah is permitted. So the Ramah takes a very clear position that it is permitted. Like I said, this position of the Ramah is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the majority of Achronim, of halachic authorities post the Ramah also rule leniently. Included in that list is the Knesset HaGdolah, Chaim ben Avitzi, one of the great achronim post the writing of the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz, the Prisha, the Ramah, the Chavos Yari, Eli Rabbi, Tosefta Shabbos. All the great achronim followed the lenient ruling of the Ramah with the exception of two achronim. One is the Lavush, and the second is the Magen Avraham. The Lavush is Rav Mordechai Yaffe, a contemporary of the Ramah, who prohibits doing that, and the Magen Avraham as well. It also prohibits and argues on the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah is very, very much follows the position of the Ramah, and he says, Kain das harbi achronim, the position of the Mishnah Berurah is found in the Mishnah Mem, Sifkat and Yudzayin. And he, again, Mishnah Berurah rules leniently, like the position of the Ramah. The Taimam says the Ramah, the Kevan de Osoy Lino Beliftoch, since it's commonplace to open and close a book, come in consistently, Leika be Mishum Mechika v'ksiva, if there is no prohibition of writing or erasing, and he writes V'chein Haminug, and that is the custom. The Shar HaTzion, the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah also say V'gam Kasur Shekein Haminug, the custom is to open and close a book, a library book, that's stamped on the outside of it, the name of the library, the due date, or whatever is written on there, is absolutely permitted. The Mishnah Berurah, however, does conclude a statement regarding this question, Mikol Makom Nachol Lahachmir Kishyesh Lo Sefer Acher. However, if you have another book and you don't necessarily need that book where the library stamp is written on it, better to use a different book. And the basic reason for that is that since there are those who prohibit opening it, why get yourself into a question? And better not to open that book altogether, better open up another book. However, clearly, if you don't have another book, it will be absolutely permitted. That is the position of the Mishnah Berurah regarding the case of opening and closing a book. Now, what emerges from the Ramah, and what's going to be important in terms of our discussion, is the svaras of the Ramah, the two reasons that the Ramah permits it. One, it's commonplace to open and close a book. And number two, moving letters next to each other and not actually creating or writing a letter or writing a word or creating a picture or a painting of the like, that is what's prohibited. But moving a letter next to another letter or removing a letter next to another letter is therefore going to be absolutely permitted. There are numerous practical applications, contemporary modern applications, of this truth of the Ramah. Moshe Feinstein, in the first volume of his truth, Sigurd's Motion, Chelik Aleph Simi Kuftan Merhei, was asked by Rav Yitzchak Nussbaum, the Rav of the Shul, whether or not it would be permitted or prohibited to place in the front of the shul a little leaflet or a little sign that would announce the pages. We're not so accustomed to having this today in most shuls, but if you remember growing up, many shuls did have such a little oak tag that had some numbers that would come down, and would write 332, 323, and by flipping the numbers that were set up, 1, 2, and 3, you would create the letters and the numbers of the pages that were being used. So this Rabbi Yitzchak Nussbaum asked Moshe Feinstein whether there was a problem of kosev by creating the letter. It didn't say a letter before, it didn't say a number before, it was nothing of significance before, but now when I'm turning this little dial or spiral to get the number to the pages that you want, 222 or 321, whatever the pages are, whether or not that is prohibited because of kosev, and then when you would remove it again, would that be a prohibition of mochi? Rav Moshe writes very clearly that that's absolutely permitted. And again, the basis of his lenient ruling is based upon the Ramah, the tshuva that we mentioned, that you're not writing. You're simply placing numbers next to each other. In order for it to be page 50, you have to put a 5 and then a 0. But the fact that you have a 5 next to a 0, you didn't write it. The numbers were written before. All you've done was placed a 5 next to a 0, a 0 next to a 2, whatever the page number is, but you didn't actually write something. All you did was place one number next to the other number, and as long as you're placing one number next to the other number, that's not the prohibition of kosev of writing, and turning the number or removing the number next to the other number would not fall under the prohibition of mochik. Therefore, Moshe says it's absolutely permitted. Moshe adds another reason to be lenient regarding this question. He says that so long as the numbers are not kavua, that they're not placed in a very permanent structure, but they're little flaps of paper that are turned in a spiral, there's no kvias to it. There's no regularity to it. There's no sense of permanence to it. And so long that it's not in a permanent fashion, they're just numbers that are being peeled over one over the next, as long as that is not considered to be a lengthy amount of time, which it's not, says Rav Moshe. He writes, L'chein l'dina, it is absolutely permitted However, if there's any chibur to kovan, he writes, if there's any permanence to the writing or to the stationary apparatus that's being used in terms of announcing the page numbers, then the gabbai should not do it, but so long as it's not kept in a basic function, it's absolutely okay. He concludes his tshuva, v'im ein shum chibur, rak she'midan os zeh etzal zeh, says Moshe and the Chelek Aleph from Kuflan, but hey, as long as the only thing that you're doing is placing one number next to the other number, ain't lesser lo mitzad kosev lo mitzad mochek, it's not prohibited because of kosev writing or because of mochek. So Moshe follows the position of the Ramah, as we mentioned, most achronim, like the Shaar HaTzion and the Mishnah Berurah quotes, to permit a situation where you're simply placing numbers, letters, next to each other, that there's no issur whatsoever, not because of kosev and not because of mochek. Another practical application of the tshuva of the Ramah is the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenbrook, one of the great achronim and poskim of the last generation, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was the Rav of the Ezra Sarah neighborhood, as well as being the rabbi of Shari Tzedek Medical Hospital. He, in a tshuva, in Chelik Yud Gimel, Siman and Dalet, was asked regarding a combination lock. As you're all aware, a combination lock, in order to open and close it, you have to set up a numerous numbers next to each other. So he's not talking about the combination lock that you press different numbers in to get into a house, but when you line up three or four numbers next to each other in order to open or close the lock, the question was raised and was asked to Rabbi Waldenberg whether or not that would be a problem of kosev or mochik. Rabbi Waldenberg, in a two-page tshuva, is very, very articulate and is very clear and is very adamant that it's absolutely permitted. He quotes a lot of the literature that we just referred to, including the tshuva of the Ramah, including the position of Moshe Feinstein, which we just mentioned, and including the position of the Taz, as well as the position of the Eli Rabbah, as well as the position of the Prisha, and many, many other Achon who absolutely permitted such a situation. The reason for the permissibility was because as long as you're not creating a letter, but you're simply moving one letter next to another letter or a number next to another number, it's absolutely permitted. He further refers to the Kula and the lenient opinion of Moshe Feinstein and the Ramah that as long as you're opening and closing it regularly, again, that would be permitted. And the purpose of a combination lock is not necessarily to keep it in place for time immemorial. You're putting it there because you want to open and close it. It doesn't mean that's being opened and closed as regularly as a book necessarily. But as long as it's roi liftach v'lisfor, that's the language of the Ramah, and so long as it is simply placing numbers next to each other, it would be absolutely permitted. So certainly we see this permissibility in terms of opening or closing a library book that has something stamped on the outside. The same thing is true setting up the numbers, page numbers in the front of the shul, and the same thing is true when it comes to combination lock, and all of the latter achronim, Rav Moshe and Rav Lezer Waldenberg and Tzitz Eliezer, rely on the opinion of the Ramah, even though the Lavush and the Magen Avraham, as we mentioned, were opposed and argued on the Ramah. The fact that the majority of Achronim seem to take a lenient position is the reason that we are lenient today, although the Mishnah Berurah did point out, as we mentioned, that if you have another book, so better to use another book. However, Rabbi Waldenberg writes that the reason he writes a lengthy tshuva, and he quotes so many Achronim on this topic, is to remove doubt from people's minds that this is prohibited. And therefore, certainly he says, because there was somewhat of a tumult regarding opening and closing a combination lock, therefore he writes that it's absolutely permitted with no question whatsoever. This brings us back to our question regarding Scrabble. When it comes to the game Scrabble, or the simple game of Scrabble that has a board, and you put in letters next to each other, that should squarely fit into the lenient ruling of the Ramah. The only thing that I'm doing, if I want to write hello, so as I'm putting an H next to an E, an L next to an L, and then an O. So I didn't write anything. The letters were created and fashioned already, each on their own square. All I'm doing is simply placing one letter next to the other letter. There's no reason that should be any different than the combination lock, no different than the page numbers in front of the shul, and certainly no different than opening and closing of the book that the Ramah writes is absolutely permitted. The question that was brought in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein, this actually is not found in the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's found in a contemporary book called The Laws of Muktzah by Rabbi Yisrael Pinchas Bodner, who on page 24 of his book, in footnote 25, writes that he brought the game of Scrabble deluxe in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein, showed Rav Moshe how it worked, and Rav Moshe said that would be a problem of kosev, and that would be a problem of mochek, because the letters lock in to the board and are securely placed in the board, even though they're not necessarily going to stay there for a significant amount of time, the fact that it locks in, it's quite a different set of motion than the regular Scrabble. It's different than the game or than the page numbers that are placed in front of the shul, and it's certainly different than what the Ramah is referring to in terms of the stamp that's placed on the outside of the papers on the book. Because anytime something is secure, and that Ramosh himself hints to in the tshuva regarding the page numbers in front of the shul, because those are not secure, therefore it's permitted. However, as he writes in the tshuva, if there is any chibur de kovan, if there is any sense of regularity, of permanence, hagabai shlo yazuz mimukoman yesh lesor, says Ramosh regarding the page number. So the same thing Ramosh says is true regarding the Lux Scrabble, even though it's not in the tshuva. Nonetheless, it's printed in his name in the Sefer Laws of Muksa. It was brought in front of him, and Ramosh indeed had a problem with the Lux Scrabble as opposed to regular Scrabble. There are two things that sort of piggyback upon Ramosh's ruling on Deluxe Scrabble. The first would be that there'd be a difference in terms of whether a Scrabble or Deluxe Scrabble is Muksa. Regular Scrabble is permitted to be used on Shabbos, therefore would not be Muksa. But the game of Deluxe Scrabble, said Ramosh, is Muksa, since it's prohibited to use because of Kosev or Mochik, writing or erasing, therefore it has the status of Muksa. Ramosh further writes, or it's reported in his name in the book, The Laws of Muksa, that if somebody regularly keeps score when they play Scrabble, if that's the way they always play, then on Shabbos would also be prohibited to play even the regular Scrabble because we're concerned that he might come to write as well. As Gzeira Shema Yichtov. And in that situation, says Ramosha, if you're always accustomed to writing and keeping score with a pencil or pen during the week regarding the game of Scrabble, you have the same problem on Shabbos, not because of Kosev and not because of Mochik, because of Gzeira. There is a possibility that you're going to come to write, and therefore we place a fence around you playing Scrabble in order that you do not come to continue to write during the week. A further application of the ruling of the Ramah regarding Kosev and Mochik on the outside of the book would be puzzles. Regular puzzles would be similar to Scrabble. If you simply have a weekly united puzzle, that's either a children's puzzle or even a more advanced puzzle that is being placed or put together, so you have to figure out whether or not the two leniencies that are more applicable. Number one, if it's regular, accustomed to opening and closing, to putting together and taking apart, so again, it would fit squarely into the leniency of the Ramah, that so long as it's asui, or it's roi, liftoach, vilinol, it's regular to open and to close it, then it would be absolutely permitted to use. Furthermore, when it comes to a puzzle, the pieces are already there, the numbers or the letters or whatever is written on the actual puzzle, since it's already there, and you're not fashioning, creating, writing a letter or erasing a letter, therefore it should be absolutely permitted to use a puzzle. The same thing should be true even if you have a puzzle where half of the puzzle piece says half an A, and the second half of the puzzle, the other half of the A, where two letters are actually, where one letter itself is actually being put together, the same leniency should apply. Even though it's a half a word and a half a letter, and you're putting two halves of a letter together to create a letter, the Ramah absolutely writes that is permitted. Even though the word mom, let's say, if you're going to split M in between the M and between the O, so you're simply separating the M from the O and the O from the M. So separating letters is okay. However, the Ramah adds an even bigger kula, bigger chiddush, that even if you're to cut the M in the middle, and half of the M is on one side and the other half of the M is on the other side, but if you're to put those two letters together, it would be absolutely permitted. So the puzzle piece, if it has one word, one letter on it, and another puzzle piece has another letter on it, that's absolutely permitted. And the same thing is true if it's a half a letter on one puzzle piece and another half of the other letters on the other puzzle piece, it will be absolutely permitted, unless we're talking about a puzzle that is kept in a very secure way, similar to the Deluxe Scrabble, that would be prohibited. But a puzzle that simply comes apart and is taken apart would be permitted. Just to conclude with where we began last week regarding a cake, why a cake would be different, if it says, happy birthday, mom, happy birthday, dad, on the cake, and you're cutting it, so you're absolutely demolishing and destroying the lettering. When it comes to a puzzle, or when it comes to Scrabble, when it comes to the letter on the outside of the book, or the numbers in front of the shul, or the combination lock, the numbers and the letters are there before and they're there after. You're simply putting them together, you're taking them apart, and they'll always be there as long as you're moving it in one way, moving it in another direction. the letters will last there. But when you're eating the cake or cutting a cake, there you're destroying the letter. The letter is there now and it's gone tomorrow. You can't put the cake pieces back together. And therefore, the Ramah Paskins and Simon Shin Mem, and this part of the tshuva is brought, Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Mem, that is absolutely prohibited to do, and that's the problem with the cake. However, based upon what we mentioned just moments ago, if you were to have a cake that says happy birthday and you're able to cut in between the letters of happy and in between the letters of birthday, in between the H and the A, that would be permitted as well. The same thing we mentioned last week is true as well. If you cut the cake before Shabbos, even though the letters together now say happy birthday, if you're to cut the cake before Shabbos and then you want to remove the cake pieces independently, that also would be permitted. I would tell you you shouldn't do that l'chatchila, because the Mishnah Berurah himself says that if you have another option, k'sheish lo sefer acher, if you have another book, you shouldn't use the book that has those stamped letters on the outside. So the same thing is true with the cake. If you have a cake option that you can get it with writing or chocolate on the top, that you don't have to cut into it over the course of Shabbos, in between the letters, or you don't cut it before Shabbos, that would certainly be much better. So that really wraps up the issue of kosev and mochek when it comes to writing and erasing on Shabbos vis-a-vis Scrabble, Deluxe Scrabble, when it comes to cake, when it comes to combination lock, when it comes to the writing on the outside of the book, and when it comes to the variety of things of writing and erasing, not in terms of actual writing or erasing, not coming to using a pen or a paper, but when it comes to placing letters next to each other, the fundamental ruling follows the position of the Ramah, even though that we do have the Magen Avraham and the Levush who argue on the Ramah, because the majority of Achronim posit and opine, like the opinion of the Ramah, that is the position that we follow regarding each of these particular circumstances outside of when it's being securely placed or housed in a situation where it is being forcefully placed into a box or where it's being kept in a situation where it's going to stay long term. Thank you to everybody for calling in. I appreciate it. Please feel free to email me or to call if you do have any questions. I hope tonight was clear and the echo was non-existent. There also will be a recording of this that will be made available to anybody, and I look forward to joining together next Monday night for the next mini-shir in Hilchos Shabbos. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.